listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
A nigga ready from the get-go. Y'all hear my shit go. It's Andre. Can your punk ass come out to play? Stay in your little hole then. Coward, duck your head. You better... Wait, you don't know who you fucking with. You better off. Dead is what I say. Best run the other way in case of physical breakdown. Y'all can break now. My kitchen full of heat. If you can't take the temp, make yourself exempt. Pussy footing around will get you nowhere but stuck. Nowhere to duck. Pull your file. Niggas die by getting blasted. How drastic. They got the nerve to ask me why I do the things I do. I got the nerve to serve you just like a waiter do. But no. Take it back. That's my problem. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
There you go. I managed to get through that somehow. They put all the ad-libs in there and everything. Anyway, we're on the Blackout Tips podcast. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic. Search for the Blackout Tips will come up. If you're listening to this on someone's stolen iPhone or someone else's car or your coworker accidentally speakers unplugged, the headphones unplugged while this is playing, well now you know. Blackout Tips, blackouttips.com. Hey, go to the blackouttips.com or tbgwt.com. Hey, you can become a premium member, you can donate to the show, you can vote in the polls, you can leave comments, all that stuff. It helps the show out tremendously. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 396 that Bobby Shmurda has been locked up in jail without bail. This podcast is sponsored, okay, double sponsored today. This podcast is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. Shadow Dog Productions has a new feature film, The Art of Confession, which is making the film festival circuit right now. But you can check out some exclusive footage only through this podcast. Check out the video link on the premium side. That's right. Only premium people can see it. And like it and leave comments, etc. But please don't share the link. Okay? You can leave comments. You can vote. You can like it. But don't tell anybody. Okay? The investors don't. They don't want that. They don't want it out there like that yet. But this is for y'all. Because y'all fuck with us so hard.
Right.
That y'all get a little glimpse on the inside. It's for premium listeners only. I have it up after the show. But it's The Art of Confession. The Secret. Footage, okay guys, y'all welcome. You know what I'm saying? Hey, y'all do for us, we do for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Rest of y'all, I'm sorry, you gotta sit this one out. All right,
y'all a secret.
But we're also brought to you by, of course, Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today. Use code TBGWT and get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right. Let's talk about things that are happening. Oh, yeah. I saw a baby in the store the other day. Yesterday, actually. I was walking in the store. I saw a baby, and it was a little adorable black girl.
Aww.
And she was about, she was, yeah, her mom was getting something out of off the cabinet, you know, the shelf. Mm-hmm. And the little girl was about to start crying, and for some reason we made eye contact, me and the little girl, and I smiled at the little girl, and then the little girl stopped, like she didn't even start crying, she started smiling at me. Mm-hmm. And she was looking at me so hard that her mama started looking at me like, do y'all know each other? And I was like, that's not my baby. And But it was crazy because yeah. I felt like that baby could sense that I didn't have no kids, you know, and I feel like babies can tell, and that's why they act like that around us.
Right. Cause
they try to make you catch the baby fever so that you'll be like, oh, I could have a little adorable, well-behaved little black girl cause I don't have to be there for crying and changing pampers and stuff like that. They just be adorable when I'm around. I think I figured out the secret. You know how all the rest of y'all hate babies? Maybe that's why y'all hate babies, because they don't act like that around y'all. But right. Around me, babies are adorable. They love me. Now, it could have just been my shirt. They did have all the Nintendo characters.
All Mario bright and Brothers colorful and shit.
It could have been my shirt. It could have been my shirt. I'm willing to concede that. But somebody on Facebook said I have a baby-loving face. So, I don't know. Maybe babies do love me. But
your beard looks like Santa Claus.
I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I don't know how that baby's been conditioned to believe in the white devil, Yakub Santa Claus, or the black one. I don't know.
I don't know, but babies do do that, and they stare at you so intensely, like they looking through you.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. She just was looking like, do I know you? Like, I was like, no, we don't know each other. I don't even go here. But I think babies do that on purpose. Like, I'll be in the checkout behind somebody with a baby, and the baby could be at throwing a fit. And then when I get over there, the baby be like, oh, I'm adorable. You be like, oh, look at you, little adorable baby. I think I want to have me a baby, too. Mm-mm. And then it's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is a goddamn trick. I'm on to you, babies. Mm-hmm. I know what you're doing. Trying to act good in front of me. Show out in front of your parents all the time. It's not working. You can cut your shit out.
Yeah, definitely not working for me. They're cute. I hold them all, and I get right back to your ass because I get to go home, and I get to sleep, and I don't have to be up all night long, and I'm not changing shitty diapers. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I know what's up with these babies. I'm on to y'all's game. Have you seen that Skittles commercial where the boy is sitting there and he got Skittles all over his face, and this girl come up and she eats a Skittle from his face, and then she says, what do you have? He says, Skittles pox. And then she says, is it contagious? Then she already has it all over her face, and he says, no.
Yep.
They should keep that going. Like, I think the next Skittles commercial should be that girl with the Skittles pox who caught it from him, calling all the people that she's fucked and asking them to get checked, like, this is Becky. I hope you're sitting down. I got some hard news to tell you. I got Skittle Box, and I think you should get yourself checked out.
And while they all on the phone, they just start breaking out during the conversation.
I think they should all have it. Like,
yeah, like I said, she called him. When she called him, like, she ain't even got touched, and she called him. And when she called him, they immediately just started breaking out.
Right. And so I think they should keep it going. I think that would be fun. What else happened I wanted to talk about? Oh, yeah, I helped upgrade the firmware for your recorder that someone bought us for Christmas.
Yeah, I tried. I'm not even going to lie. I tried, and the thing about it is that sometimes shit ain't user-friendly to people that are not, like, tech-savvy, and I was trying my best to, you know, go to Google, go to YouTube and shit like that. But that shit was not as simple as the man portrayed it. People was like, yeah, you click on this, you click this, it does this, it twirls. I was like, my shit ain't doing that. I do not understand.
Yeah, and I fixed it. I went in there and I upgraded it. You know, it took me a little while to figure it out. But once I figured it out, we got the recorder upgraded and stuff. And I got to say, that feels kind of like, you know, being tech savvy is the new handyman almost. Now, I know you can never really replace the handyman, obviously, you know, but I feel like as technology is improving, you know, it used to be a time where it's like, oh, this nigga can put together a fence, and it's like, oh man, you know, that's a manly ass thing to be able to do.
Yeah, now a robot probably but that.
Yeah, but as things become more automated, as we become, you know, able to access more services cheaper through the internet and stuff, I feel like upgrading the firmware on somebody's, you know, mic is kind of, you know, that's kind of the new handyman shit.
Yeah,
you
speaking like a lot of tech people, like their life, like, and you don't even got to know a lot. You could just know the basic shit, and all you got to do is get your grandma, great grandma, uncle, or somebody don't know a motherfucking thing, and every time something happened, and it could be kind of annoying. It's almost like to do with the truck. Every time something happened, you get the call. Every time somebody got to be moved, you get the call. And, you know, eventually it can be somewhat annoying.
Yeah, I get a lot of emails and stuff from family and stuff like that. How you do this? And, you know, I try to help them out or whatever. But, yeah, I feel like that's the new guy with the truck type shit where it's like, you know about the internet. I want to do this thing.
Right. Now, I've given myself not a lot, but a little bit of credit. Mm-hmm. I will go out and try to do some shit on my own. But the thing about me doing shit on my own that sometimes I don't like is that I fuck shit up worse than it was if I would have asked you the motherfucking question in the first place. But at least if I fuck it up, I can kind of figure out what I did wrong. Mm-hmm. And then we can move on from there. Because you become like, what the fuck did you do? I don't know. I tried doing it on my own. And I fucked it up.
But it's good to try things. I think especially women need to try more shit like that, because it's not that guys are more tech savvy or smarter or anything like that. It's just that society doesn't come down on us for failing and you're not afraid to fail. So like, if I would have, I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? I wouldn't have been able to fix your thing. Like,
right,
it was already, you know, not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was, there's no harm in me, because I tried probably 3, 5, 6 different ways to get it to work before I figured it out. And so, you know, it's, and I think that's more because I'm used to doing it. If it was my first time attempting it, I'm sure it would have took me even longer, but that's the beauty of it. So I, you know, you shouldn't really come down on yourself for that,
you know. And I didn't really think about it that way, but it's true. When it comes to things like that, men do have the quote unquote the right to fail, you know. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to women, it's like, you know, society almost put the pressure on you to be perfect. Like, you got to come in knowing everything. It's like, motherfucker, I don't know. Everybody has to learn.
Right.
But it's like, if you fail, everything's blown out of proportion. It's like, you're incompetent. It's like, you don't, it's like, you're stupid. When you're like, nah, it's not that. It's just for the fact that I'm not familiar with this. But it's like, because we're quote unquote not allowed to fail, like fail out of marriage, fail out motherhood, you know, fail out relationships, you know, anytime anything ends in your life, or anytime anything quote unquote falls apart, it's never anything, it's never the surrounding circumstances sometimes, which it truly can be. It's always automatically pointed, what did you do? What did you have on? What did you wear? What did you say? How did you act? And I think, as I get older, I'm kind of trying to break that mold. But yeah, now I will try it, fuck it up, sometimes make it worse, and then be like, hey, dog, look, I tried everything I know I can do, and then I'll come to you, and then we can work it out. Because, yeah, I used to be in a pro where I would even try, because I was like, well, what's the point? He already know how to do it. But if I'm ever in a situation where I'm by myself, I need to know how to do this also.
Yeah, well, I'm not even saying on a big, like, relationships and sex and all that stuff. I'm saying, like, on a small level, society does it. Like, if you want to learn how to cook, you're gonna have to fuck some food up.
Yes, you are.
You know what I mean? But women can fail in the kitchen while learning to cook, and that's part of the process. Women should be able to fail in a computer class, or fucking putting together her own, you know, mobile studio or whatever. She should be able to fail at that. And that's the only difference in a lot of this shit, is just that dudes are understood that, well, I'll be trying this, but at least I tried it. And there's no, like, stigma there. But I think there's a lot of pressure on people when you're outside of your area. And the same for men. When men cook, I'm sure that there's a lot of men who feel like, well, I just let women cook because that's their area and I don't need to cook. And it's like, no, you should learn how to cook, even if it's for yourself. You should learn how to cook. Like, it's not necessary. Like, one, it's a life skill, but then two, yeah, so you fucked up some chicken this week, you know, like, okay, we'll get in there. We'll try again. Like, you don't have to give up and be discouraged because it's not your area of whatever. Right. So anyway, all this is off tangent, but I just mean it to say, like, I think that's one of the reasons that people can get uptight sometimes about trying shit. Because, like, this isn't my typical role or whatever. But I do like being, you know, being able to be relied upon for stuff like that. Because I didn't even know I knew how to do that until we started doing it. You know, yeah. It's not like I'm a specialist in that shit. I just figured it out, you know, along with you, you know. So, Linda Brothers in the chat said that the tech guy won't really replace the handyman until it becomes a porn plot.
Yeah, that's when you know it's official. It's like, man, you want me to clean them pipes?
Well, I have seen porn that way, but I feel like I don't count because I've seen all the porn, so it doesn't really. I don't know if my expertise. I have seen several IT guy porn.
They'll be like, ma'am, do you have some RAM problems that I could fix?
I can ram it in.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I don't really believe it, because
that don't even sound sexy.
Like, a dude with a hand. Well, they don't talk like that.
Okay.
Karen, but the thing is, a guy who, like, fixes I don't know, like, a guy who's doing the plumber thing or whatever, that guy can show up to your house and he can have, like, a neck tattoo and a big ass beard and, you know, fucking nipple piercings and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's not that everybody would be okay with that guy, but people go, yeah, well, that's kind of that job, and you don't have to look a certain way. the IT porn doesn't fucking work because the dudes who do the IT porn are the same fucking dudes. So it's like a big ass beard, a neck a neck tattoo and a face tattoo, you know, rocking a fucking Steelers jersey and some Nikes. Like, nah, man, I don't believe this nigga in Tim's really works at the IT place that fixes this woman's computer.
Right.
At the it just doesn't make sense.
No, I don't believe you IT for the milk department.
Yeah, so I don't appreciate that shit, man. I've seen it before and it's never believable. So I was like, nigga, you don't have a job. Like, nobody would hire you to represent Wells Fargo or whatever.
Right, and work around their computers. They'd be scared you put porn on the computers.
Right.
They were like, everybody came in and hit this and went control alt delete and everybody had porn. What happened?
Right. All right.
It was all of the IT dude. I don't understand.
Right. let's get into some news. There's all kinds of news that happened and shit. At the box office, Ride Along 2 has made $38 million so far this weekend, topping The Revenant and Star Wars. It's gonna be the first movie to beat Star Wars, probably.
Good. I'm happy for them.
Kevin Hart and Ice Cube have become the king of the January black and white and American box office.
Yes, they have. They roll you into February.
Yep, $38 million. The first one made $100 million. So of course they got a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the first one.
I did too.
You saw the first one?
Remember we went to see it together.
Mm. Terrible.
Yes, sir, it was.
And to me, I'm okay with this. I'm glad that they're doing this. It's like Adam Sandler can somehow keep making money being terrible. True equality is fucking Ride Along 2, Ride Along 3, all that shit.
4, 5, I'm here for all of them.
Yep. So it made a ton of money. It beat out The Revenant, which pulled in $9 million on Friday, and it's looking like it's gonna pull out $37 million for the weekend. Let's see what else. In third place, Star Wars, which is gonna probably make $32 million. Which push it is domestic, just the U.S. box office pads are $850 million.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it's almost at $2 billion already.
They're breaking all. If it's a record to be said, they broke it.
Yeah. And 13 Hours is out, the Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, which is a Michael Bay film. I kind of want to see that because I can find out what the fuck Benghazi is finally, you know. See why everybody's mad at Hillary Clinton. You know, all the conservatives are mad at her.
Is it going to be Transformers in it?
No, Karen. All the conservatives are mad at her about the Benghazi stuff, and I'm assuming that's the day they found out she was a woman. So.
Okay, but I don't think I want to see it, dear.
That's fine. Let's see. And I saw an article where somebody wrote, Ride Along 2 is making money because it's over-indexing with African Americans, which is a very thinly veiled, coded, racist way of being like, black people are going to see it, so it's nothing really count. It's over-indexing with them. Is it over-indexing? I mean, when we see any other movie, do we say it over-index with white people? Is it even capable that a movie can over-index with white people?
Come
or is
on.
White such the default that we've decided that white dollars just count different. Black dollars are somehow always a surprise, always an anomaly. I'm tired of people describing black success at the box office as somehow being surprising. It's not surprising. Like every year we got 17 different surprises every year. You know, another black movie made some money. Yeah. Because we spend money, we go see things that we're in.
Right. Just like white people go see shit that look like them. What makes you think no other race don't see people that look like them also?
Yeah, over-indexing with African-Americans? Like, I see you, dog. I see you chirping. But good for them, man. I'm glad they made their money.
Make all your money.
You know, I don't think I'll be seeing this one in the theater.
No.
I learned my lesson.
But make all your money.
They're going to be riding alone if it's up to me. Because your boy can't do it. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we're bad.
Kevin Hart, I'm sorry. Penthouse magazine is finally going digital only.
Oh shit, now what the old men gonna do?
I know, feel bad for people that were collecting these.
I know what pop gonna do. Oh, grandpa
after 51 years in print.
Woo, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess everybody realizing that paper print ain't where the money at, and nobody's gonna pay for ads,
and I'm sure people are probably pirating it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm bad.
And canceling their subscription and shit. They like physical subscription and just going online anyway.
Yeah, I wonder if you can find like penthouse, like if you Google what that's covers and stuff. So maybe they're good about making sure that you can't like just find it on Google and shit.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, but if you really want it bad enough, you can find it.
Yeah. By the way, I love that built into this are just actual pictures of penthouses.
right, because it's like if you ain't specific, we gonna give you all the penthouse magazine, penthouse in New York, LA, California.
Yeah, well, I bet you can find it somewhere. I don't care because it's penthouse and they don't even have the kind of women that I like on there.
Right,
so.
They all generic and they all look alike to
Playboy.
Me.
It's all the same chick.
Right, the same goddamn chick. You're like, oh, y'all don't believe in different sizes. Y'all don't believe in different colors. I'm good.
Yeah,
everything's the same, making the same model. I'm good. I am good.
But I don't even think celebrities do those things anymore.
Nope, they've been walked away because it doesn't benefit them. Yeah. You know, they might do Playboy, but they not doing penthouse.
More Chipotle news. Chipotle will shut down every single store on February 8th for a food safety meeting.
So that means the regular ass employees that won't be going to this meeting ain't gonna get paid, because guarantee you ain't gonna invite like Jim that's back there chopping up the tomatoes to come to this meeting, right?
I don't know if basically they said they're gonna have February 8th, they're gonna have a several hour meeting. The restaurant's gonna close so the executives can address food safety concerns with staff. Chris Arnold, the company spokesman, said the meeting would happen February 8th and involve all staff, so everybody will be there.
Okay.
A range of issues will be covered. We want to thank our team for all their hard work, to discuss some of the changes we're making to enhance food safety, to talk about the restaurant's role in all of that, and to answer questions from employees.
Oh, so they must go and do like a via satellite, like everybody come to the restaurant shut down. They basically talk to them via Skype or however they do their thing, and then everybody go home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I love the people that always have to remind you Chipotle ain't that good.
We didn't ask you that.
Okay. I always have to be that person like, it's not even good food. Okay, cool. Good for you, buddy. Your taste buds are great. Let's see what else is happening. Oh. Barack Obama didn't just get those soldiers released from Iran, but he also got hostages that have been held there for years released as of today.
Shit.
Plane leaves Iran with Post reporter, other Americans in a swap. What I love the most about this is a lot of his detractors, i.e. the Republican people running for president, the Republican candidates, have nonstop been like, he's a weak president, he can't even get our hostages back. Meanwhile, the things they're suggesting would either start a war or get those people killed. But okay,
right. Yeah.
But okay, you know, right. They gotta figure it out. We gotta be strong. Like, it's such bullshit. But his diplomacy and John Kerry, you know, being the voice of reason, got these people back.
Yep, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think people just talk to talk because the push come to shove and they get into the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you really want people angry with you, which, you know, depends on who it is. They don't give a fuck. But, you know, you probably get some, like you said, some of the people killed or get us constantly in fucking wars.
Yeah, according to the timeline, he was detained July 22nd, 2014.
2 years.
October 5th, 2014, his wife was released on bail during the previous week. December 6th, he's denied bail. Then 2015, May his trial begins and it's adjourned after one day. July 14th, agreement reached to limit Iran's nuclear program. Then October 12th, the Iranian state television reports that Rezaian has been convicted. And January 16th, Iran announces the release of Rezaian through an exchange deal. So he basically spent almost a year and a half or something. Over there locked up. So crazy, man. I don't know how people are able to do jobs like that where, all right, man, I'm gonna just go over here and report, and just like, yeah, man, but you might get your ass locked up. So be careful what you say, what you do, what you report on, you know. Yeah,
that's why some of those people that make a lot of money, because like, you ain't going over here risking your life for free.
Right. They said, we can confirm that our detained U.S. citizens have been released and that those who wish to depart Iran have left. We have no further information to share at this time. We'd ask everyone to respect the privacy of individuals and family. Rezaian and two other released Americans were flown out of Tehran Sunday after a delay. They were expected to go to Switzerland, into the U.S. military facility in Germany to be examined by medical personnel. One of the Americans, Nosratollah Khosravi Rutsari, did not fly with the others. I think that's the people are like, who is this? Nobody knows who that person is. The agreement also contains significant political risk for a White House that has taken its legacy on Iran's willingness to comply with unprecedented curbs and extensive monitoring of its nuclear program. The PAC, which has been repeatedly condemned by the Israeli government as well as by members of Congress from both parties, drew fresh attacks Saturday from Republican presidential contenders, some of whom blasted the deal as a sellout to Iran's clerical rulers. So this is what I was getting at. They have been talking shit like, oh, he can't even get the hostages back. What a terrible president. Then once he gets them back, well, what did he give up? Who knows what the deal was? I mean, he probably just get, you know, just rolled over and got a bad deal. So it's like he couldn't win either way. Mm-mm. As usual. But anyway, I'm sure that those families and those people coming home feel like they won.
Well, come on now.
Let's see what else is going on. In Chicago, there are ministers who are going to boycott Rahm Emanuel's MLK breakfast. Why is Rahm Emanuel having an MLK breakfast? He must do this every year or something, because this ain't the year for this, bro. After the Laquan McDonald, I mean, is that killing, murder, and consequent cover-up? I don't know how you just be like, all right, Ali Oxen Free, let's all go out, have some pancakes on me, guys.
Didn't he get convicted, too?
Who? No one's been convicted yet. No.
Okay.
They covered that up. The police officer has been, I think, arrested, maybe. Might be detained. Okay. I don't know. But, nah, nothing's happened yet. They covered it up. They deleted the footage from the Burger King. Or they thought they did from the Burger King. Yeah, they did delete it from the Burger King, but there's another angle.
Right, that they didn't catch. Yeah. So I wouldn't go either.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
What is this?
Commercial.
But these pastors are like, yeah, we not not going to MLK breakfast. By the way, I like this because so often when it comes to, you know, these type of discussions and black activism and shit, it feels like the black church is either opting out or they don't, or their qualms about the kind of people who are protesting get caught up in it. You know, it's like, oh, we don't want to support these LGBTQ activists. We don't want to, you know, these people don't go to church. Some of these people are atheists. Some of these people aren't dressing the part. So, and there's been like this admonishment between them. There's a lot of respectability. Like, you're not dressing up. Why aren't you turning the other cheek? Why aren't you talking about forgiveness? Why aren't you? And there's been a lot of that infighting, and it's good to see, you know, the church, you know, at least step up and say something. Now, I'm sure that people will have a problem with this somehow. I mean, it is, some people probably feel like they're maybe taking the forefront or something. I know it's mostly black men, so maybe people feel like they're trying to erase black women that are at the forefront of some of these movements and whatnot. But just in general, as this would, Rahm Emanuel would have definitely tried to use this as a means to cover up the fact that there's so much racial discord in Chicago and amongst the people in Chicago about his administration. He would have definitely took photo ops. He would have definitely been like, see, these black people like me. And I'm glad that when standing at the foot of the mayor, able to, you know, get that access and that power, either through the fact that other people have worked so hard to make it unpalatable, or just because these guys have a conscience, I'm glad that they were like, no, we're not doing it.
Yeah, and I'm glad too, because truth be told, nobody knows how much they may have had to deal with the aftermath of the policies and the procedures and the deaths and things like that, where they're going, nah, I've had enough of you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had to put the families together and deal with it and march and protest and find out that you're covering the shit up that I've been fighting against. I'm not here for that.
Yeah. Well, let me play this.
A group of pastors in Chicago claim that the turbulent political climate in the city has motivated them to call for a boycott of this Friday's annual Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast. Eyewitness News political reporter Charles Thomas joins us with more on this boycott. Charles.
Linda, the mayor of the city of Chicago sponsors this annual King event, and he's the person with whom the African-American church leaders say they do not want to break bread.
Our problems cannot be solved with bacon and eggs.
They claim to represent 50 to 60 ministers from churches throughout the city who will not attend.
Nor with waffles and omelets.
No matter how much butter you put on those grits.
There is no amount of syrup you can put on this injustice to make me taste it.
Mm-mm, no matter how sweet those strawberries.
There's no amount of fruit salad on the side or mixed in that I would
that I would deal with
over this injustice. Nope. I'm sorry.
No amount of oatmeal.
There's no amount of country or city ham that is going to make me forget about the things this administration has done.
There is no amount of fresh squeezed orange juice that will make me change my mind.
You can't just grate jelly over the toast of inequality in Chicago. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I don't care if it's Mrs. Buttersworth or not. I'm incensed. Anybody want to go to IHOP? Man, I'm hungry.
I know, right? No matter how much Folgers, I will not fold.
Yeah. I don't care if it's caffeinated or decaffeinated. I'm woke up. I'm woke, as the kids say. From the aroma of oppression.
No matter how thick those bagels can be, you will not cause me to change my mind.
You can't toast the racism out of my city. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this.
No matter how unsalted that butter is, it will not erase the salt you have brought upon my people.
There's no amount of blitzes or crepes that will fix this city. I'm sorry. I apologize, you guys.
Yeah, you can't fool me with them Belgian waffles. We in Chicago, damn it.
This is marmalade. Why do people listen to this?
I have no idea.
Someone on Facebook was like, I thought the purpose of this group was to make the world a better place. I was like, I'm not even going to. I had hard to tell you that.
Yeah, going to be highly disappointed.
Yeah. Sorry, we laugh at fucked up things every day.
Yes, we do.
Anyway, back to the seriousness of this injustice, guys. And the seriousness of this injustice.
This year's version of the mayor's interfaith breakfast, alleging that Rahm Emanuel had a role in covering up the Laquan McDonald police shooting.
We don't think that a kumbaya breakfast at this moment is the time that we should be at the table with our mayor. It would be a shame for us as ministers to be there and provide for Mayor Emanuel the political cover that he would desire.
The Martin Luther King mayoral breakfast is not about me. It's about Dr. King.
Several of the mayor's African-American city council allies agreed.
Some of the ministers are boycotting it, then you don't stand behind Martin Luther King.
nigga, if you don't get the fuck out.
And what makes you so mad? It's like y'all missed the whole point of what did he die for then? Why did he
die? Delicious pancakes, Karen. That's why he died.
He died for cinnamon buns, fresh piping hot right out the oven with that sticky, icky, ooh-wee cinnamon. That's what he died for.
Are you fucking serious?
Right, because they're trying to change it like these people are wrong for boycotting when the whole purpose is, hey, y'all do know what he stand for, right? And you did some fucked up shit that's against everything that he would have, if he was alive, people go, you know, it's one of the things where you know how white folks are allowed to lose Martin Luther King, but when black folks use Martin Luther King, because the problem is like, look, if he was alive, he'd have protested your ass, but us protesting is the problem.
Well, it don't have anything to do with Rahm Emanuel.
In the 1980s, the late Harold Washington.
It has everything to do with him, because he's hosting it.
Right. If it ain't got nothing to do with him, then why, then maybe he shouldn't show up.
Right.
Chicago's first black mayor began the MLK breakfast tradition. It has become controversial in recent years, with activist priest Father Michael Flager avoiding such events, writing on his Facebook page, King was my mentor, and I'm tired of having him pimped.
He white, too. Seems like he might be woke.
Right.
The ministers who announced the boycott also vowed to demonstrate at this year's event that attracts politicians, business, and civic leaders, and lots of television news cameras.
Pause. That's the whole thing. It, you know, it's like it's a breakfast, but it's one of things where everybody, it's almost like the who's who of the city government is there. All jokes aside, so it's already less and less about Martin Luther King from the beginning. Because you got cameras and spotlights. You know, what the fuck is this? Are we going to do awards? Is this the Oscars, the Grammys of the city? It's like, and that's probably why that white pastor was like, hey, dog, I'm not here to be pimped. Like, I need
no, he said MLK is going to be pimped. Like,
right.
He's tired of them putting his name on shit when this is really just a hobnob of socialites, like, you know, probably power brokering, taking photo ops,
making
and,
deals.
Yeah, being like, okay, this, you know, we'll support you, we'll get you these votes and shit. And I appreciate them taking a stand, whether it's through the fact that, like I said, activists just kind of made it untenable. Like, if you go your ass up there, we about to make a scene.
Yeah, you've been warned. We will stand outside your church.
Right, and they're probably going to be at this breakfast standing outside, and I hope they join in with whoever's protesting there. And And I mean, you know, join in, not try to take it over, but
right.
Cause, people are very upset and you can't just gloss over that shit, you know, and you can't claim to care about your community while hobnobbing with the person that just, that covers up the injustice in your community.
Right. Because in some people's eyes, you being there is showing that you're in agreeance.
Right. That's the whole point is that's why they're mad these guys aren't coming, is cause like, well, by showing up, you're supporting us. And that's like, fuck MLK. This is about the mayor. It's, and the fact that they tried to flip it to MLK shows just how much it's about the mayor.
Come on now.
He was an advocate for the poor. He was not an agent for the elite.
Meanwhile, other activists have their own plans to demonstrate outside the McCormick Place Hyatt. That breakfast scheduled for 8 a.m. Friday morning on the 87th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's birth.
Man, I really hope those pastors don't go there and try to take that shit over.
Yeah, if somebody got some shit organized, I'm here for support.
Yeah, it's going to be problems.
Right, because people are like, look, we've been organizing this shit for years. You just decided to get angry? You is not taking the mic, Negroes.
Kicking people off the mic, talking about Quaker Oats. We didn't land on Quaker Oats. Quaker Oats landed on us.
Yes, we fought for American bacon, not Canadian bacon. Our bacon strips should be circle and not our bacon should just be flat and not look like Frisbees.
You've been scrambled. We've been poached. We've been over-easied. We've been sunny side up and led astray.
Oh, Lord. That's a good one.
I'm sorry, y'all. Columbus Short got married to Karen Steffens. who you guys might know as Superhead.
Oh, ain't he the dude from Scandal? Oh, that's the wrong dude.
He was the guy from Scandal.
Okay.
Then he lost his job because he liked to beat his wife.
In real life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In real life. This is such a weird, quote-unquote, marriage to me because, like, who the fuck marries a dude that just beat the shit out of his wife in front of their kids?
Yeah, I have to look at you real hard.
Yeah, she said she took to Instagram to confess her love for Columbus Short and ultimately confirmed that the two were married, legally married.
Yeah, we'll see how long it lasts. I honestly wish them nothing but the best. I hope the love is real. I hope he don't beat you. Like, that's my fear, that he don't be punching on you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. She then posted an image of Short with the caption, "He is I and I am him, Slim with the tilted brim." My favorite thing about her is she presents herself as so sophisticated, but it's like, come on, man. We know how your star. We know the hip hop thing. Like, you ain't got to look down on everybody else. It's cool. Mm-hmm. We all came. We know where you came from, dog. Like, maybe she just got so tired of people looking down on her that she just, that's her defense reaction, though. It could be that.
Of course. People were tired of people calling you bitches and hoes and sluts and shit like that. Well, after a while, you go, you know what? I'm actually better than you. You know, she's looking like, where your book? Where your money?
Because she really does try to put forth this, like, really sophisticated image of, like, class and all this shit. But it's like, come on, man. We seen, you know, Backstage documentary. Come on. See, that's the thing about underdogs. Those that don't overstand don't stay under too long. What? Then when you put two battle-tested soldiers together, and when these two touch and agree, no man can stop them, no woman either. This man is my hashtag MCM, Man Crush Monday, I guess. My MCE, I don't know what that is, Man Crush Ever.
You know, I don't know what the kids
man crush
about.
Every day, man crush every day.
Okay,
and so much more at Official Short hashtag Meet the Shorts. Yes, wow. Okay, well, yeah, they got pictures of him on the couch on the phone, and her taking a picture in the background. So, but when a fan told Stephens, "You need to be careful and caution her against going too fast and being too quick to jump into a relationship," she shot back with, "This is my husband. Legally, Lord, you people. So nosy, but never know what you talk about."
everybody going, did you see he just beat his last wife, right?
I just like that she called people nosy, but she couldn't wait to tell them they were married.
Right.
Like, she's done this before, too. She's like, "Y'all all up in my business anyway. At 3 o'clock on Monday, I will be."
You're sharing, right? You are sharing.
Yeah, someone said, see, that's the thing. Oh, wait, someone said, "You love so too hard. You need to be careful. Let things play out naturally. Let love take its pace. You are too quick to jump into relationships. I went on that man's page and there was no mention of you. If a man truly loves a woman, he will let the world know. When a man initiates that with you, then and only then will you know he is the one." I just like that people are like, if you don't get claimed on social media, then you know he, you know, it's not real, you know.
A lot of people take that shit seriously.
I know, it's just funny. That's such a 2016 thing, you know. What were people doing in 1975, you know?
Mm-hmm, all right.
"This will be your king because
he don't whistle at you, girl. It ain't real." What?
"This will be your king because he will claim you to the world regardless of reputation. He will claim you fearlessly. I'm not trying to kill you, Joy, just give my opinion." And she said, "Ma'am, this is my husband. Legally, try minding your business. Lord, you people so nosy, but never know what you're talking about. And also, look at his page again. There are several photos of me/us shaking my head. What is wrong with you?" Oh, boy. That's hilarious. Well, good luck to them, man. You know, good luck to the Shorts.
Good luck. Meanwhile, on Instagram. Yippee-ki-yo, yippee-ki-yo.
Let's see what else happened. Oh, this is the best thing ever. Rick Ross was getting interviewed. Was it Fader? I forget who was interviewing him, but they asked him about 50 Cent.
Mm-hmm.
"Your old enemy 50 Cent made fun of you of your first week album sales for this album. Does that even bother you anymore, or do you brush it off?" So Rick Ross goes on to respond. At this point, my relationship with Curtis is really amusing due to the fact that I'm the biggest L he ever took. I'm still enjoying life. My kids love me. I'm blessed. And when it comes to Curtis, it's just unfortunate. I'm not happy that his boxing company went under. Oh, hell, hold on.
Shots fired.
I know. It's clearly about to be a problem. Let me go find my song. Wait, where is it at? Is it off of here? Oh, yeah, here we go. All right. I'm not happy that his boxing company went under. I'm not happy that his clothing company went under. I'm not happy that his record label went under. I'm not happy he went bankrupt. I'm not happy that he doesn't have a relationship with his son.
Oh.
That's not something to be happy about. But to see him parading around, still able to hold his head up every day with all that weighing on him, that makes me happy. I admire him for being able to hold his head up in a city that has revoked all his passes. We've had quite enjoyable past, and I still smile when I see him.
Petty on Fleek.
Oh, that is the best thing of all time. That is the best thing of all time. I actually tweeted that picture, like retweeted it from somebody. And that shit has gotten like 1800 retweets and likes and favors and shit. People still today being like, oh man, he got him. Like, I'm like, damn, yo, this is 3 days ago.
Yeah, I've had tweets like that before.
Man, that's some shade. That was a read.
You kicked the teapot over.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else happened. Oh, Tichina Arnold, who you might know as Pam from Martin,
mm-hmm.
or the mother from Everybody Hates Chris.
Yes.
She sent her husband's sex tape with another woman to her husband's family in a group chat.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. After finding her husband Rico Hines sex tape with another woman, actress Tichina Arnold has fired back by sending a group text to all of his family and friends. Well, that's one family and friends plan you don't want to be on.
Right. Could you imagine? You'd be like, hey, what's she ain't put no words with this. She just sent a video.
In the group text, Arnold starts off by telling her husband's family, it's over between Rico and I. This is where I part ways and all bets are off. But it doesn't stop there. Tichina, who claims her husband of 3 years has been cheating on her multiple times, sometimes without the use of condoms, included the sex tape in the group chat for the entire family to see. I can't for the life of me understand why Rico would think video himself fucking raw dog, one of his many extraneous whores, that trick on him for his money, said Tichina. She goes on to list at least 20 women she knows her husband has slept with, referring to them as extraneous Kim Kardashian wannabes. White girls. Tichina Arnold has already confirmed to the media that the couple will be divorcing. Hines, who is an assistant basketball coach at St. John's University, took a more private approach, saying this is a private and deeply personal matter between my wife and me. I do not want to comment any further at this time. Now, my first thought was, isn't that illegal?
Right.
Isn't that technically revenge porn? Like, if you're having a problem conceptualizing it, reverse the genders on that and think about if that's exactly some dude caught his wife cheating. Now, some of y'all are fucked up emotionally and shit, so, you know, I understand y'all would not see a problem with it. But I'm saying, not to mention, you know, any of the women that would have been exposed via this whatever.
Right, she talking about possibly lawsuits from this woman, because this woman did not expect this to be out to the public.
Might not even know this dude's married, who knows
what he told her. Correct.
But yeah, it seemed like it's just revenge porn. Mm-hmm. And
you need to be, she would need to be held accountable for that. Yeah, because if it was a man, you would demand that he be held accountable.
Yeah, and I don't know if he'll prosecute or, I mean, try to pursue charges. I don't know if the women in the video would or what, but because my only question was, does it not qualify because she only sent it to a certain amount of people? Because I don't know the rule.
Right.
For how that works, like if it's
something that has to be posted to the internet or not.
Yeah, like, right. Do I have to post it to a website before it becomes revenge porn, or can I like just send it to like one person and it's like that's revenge porn, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know the rule,
right,
be
because
honest.
It's just one of those things, like once it gets in other people's hands, they could put it up,
right,
you know, and that's what the problem, that's what becomes an issue.
So he's getting his whole IT guy on the, in the videos and shit. And she tells the whole family, who knows the ages and the people that in the family, who knows,
right,
who all saw that.
If anything else, if I was a woman in that video, I would sue the fuck out of her, because right. I had sex with him on video, and that's not funny, who knows if I knew the video was there. I was mm-hmm. not trying to be funny, the video might have been a video of me unknowing,
right,
so you didn't take the time to see that, you took this and you put it in family members' hands. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, these people know who I am, so now all of a sudden...
One of those people might post it to the internet.
Right, and then all of a sudden, I have to deal with the backlash. I have to deal with the persecution. I have to deal with the judgment and everything else that goes along with that. Not saying this woman didn't know or didn't know whatever. It's just the fact that even if she consented to this video, she did not consent to it for it to be in other people's hands like this.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Well, this is on BallerAlert.com, so there are comments. Denise Love says, LOL. Terrell Jones, hating ass Terrell Jones, says, she must not know the power of going raw dog and random bitches.
Oh, Lord.
It will break up a happy home. I can't blame this big sloppy motherfucker for getting his fuck on. He could die in a minute. I knew he was on bullshit when I seen him on Wife Swap, and he wasn't doing shit but watching sports with a TV tray in front of him, drinking wine. You got lupus, bitch. You better take what you could get.
Oh no.
Theme says, I appreciate the fact she took the time to talk to his family about what was really going on, and I hope that they all make note that she's hurt people. Nah, I'm bullshitting. What she did is what she should have done when your husband is taping his infidelity. Ha ha, how dumb are you? God damn it, I thought we had a fuck. Mm-mm. You know what else is funny too? With her doing the hurt people shit, all these people that are saying this stuff, in my estimation, if he like physically assaulted her after this, they would also be like, well, what did you expect? Mm-hmm. Like, that's their whole approach to shit. It's just like, what did you expect? So at some point for somebody to not be shit, I mean, was of course he killed her, you know what I mean? Like, it's so dumb. It's like you always blame the person that, you know, like it just goes back to whoever did the next thing. It's like, what did the person before that think? Sugar Bear says, cheating on your spouse partner without using protection is utterly disgusting. It is. I agree. That's why I wrap up. No, I'm just kidding. cheating in general is, says Sugar Bear. Yeah. Allie in Wonderland says, am I the only one who wants to see the video? Like, I'm hella curious to see how he fucks and what the chick looks like. And Spinster says, good for him, dirtbag. There you go. Ball alert comments. Where?
That and just like I say with dudes who do this, it's like, if you ever want to be in a relationship with somebody, people gonna look at her like, nah, dog, like, my shit could be public. Like, why would I even want to, you know, like, if she desires to be in another relationship at any point in time?
I mean, well, you know, ultimately she's extremely petty, you know. Right, I'm assuming when you get with her, you're not thinking, I'm gonna be cheating on her. So, you know, maybe she looks at it as a good thing, like, the next nigga gonna know.
True.
Not to fuck with me, you know. The New York Police Department is demanding a $36,000 copying fee for access to cops' body cam footage. This is what a lot of people don't know about the Freedom to Information Act. A lot of these, and Ferguson tried to do this too. A lot of these police departments can say, well, you can have access to the information, but you have to pay for it. And then they make the fee so exorbitant that the actual, it's pretty much, for the most part, putting it behind lock and key, because no one's going to pay that much.
Right.
yeah, they agreed to review and release the footage for after an open records request for unedited video files from the NYPD's body camera program captured during five specific weeks in 2014 and through 2014. It took them 4 months. They agreed that we'll release the footage, but only after New York One pays $36,000 a copying fee. New York One appealed the New York Police Department's decision in a letter dated September 16th of last year. And once again, it was denied by the NYPD's Deputy Commissioner of Legal Matters. As the New York Post reported yesterday, the details of the NYPD's response, including the exorbitant fee charged by a public agency with a budget of $4.8 billion, were revealed in a lawsuit NY1 filed against the NYPD in the Supreme Court of New York County on Wednesday. In it, the channel accused the department of violating New York State's freedom of information law by inflating the cost of producing the requested body camera footage, a process that, according to NYPD, involves copying video segments that could be held under certain privacy and security exemptions. The fee does not indeed come from a curious calculation of labor costs. In a letter to NY1 explaining the administrative denial of the channel's appeal, a police official explained, "The record access officer's estimate of the cost of processing a copy of the body camera footage was reasonable based on an estimate of the total time of footage recorded during the 5 weeks specified in the FOIL, Freedom of Information, request that was approximately 190 hours, and that in addition to the 190 hours required to view the recordings in real time, an additional 60% or 114 hours will be required to copy the footage in a manner that will redact the exempt portions of the body camera footage for a total of approximately 304 hours. The lowest paid NYPD employee with the skills required to prepare a redacted copy of the recordings is in the rank of police officer, and the cost of compensating a police officer is $120 per hour. Multiplying $120 by 304 hours equals $36,480, which closely approximates the amount estimated for by the records office. So it's unclear where exactly these figures come from. Police officer is the third lowest rank within the NYPD's rank structure. Individuals holding that title make nowhere near $120 an hour.
Right.
Which would be equivalent to $250,000 a year, basically, assuming a 40-hour work week. So who knows what the fuck they're talking
y'all
about.
Y'all making up goddamn numbers because y'all don't want to release this shit.
Yeah, I remember that Texas town in McKinney was charging $79,000 for emails about the pool party abuse cop. So, yeah, this is just another barrier that they put up to keep people from knowing the truth, which is like, yo, how the fuck are you supposed to protect and serve us as a public? And this is what you think of us is, oh, you want to know some information? Well, look, we're not gonna be able to do that, okay? We can do it, but it's gonna cost arm and a leg. So if you're willing to come up off of a few, $36,000, then we can do it.
So in other words, we fucked up. You gotta pay for the right. And my thing is this: if I pay, how do I know I'm really getting what I'm asking for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like that's the larger question,
right?
If I pay, how do I know that I'm going to get the truth?
Yep. A criminal summons has been issued for Powerball winner Marie Holmes for threatening her boyfriend's lover. So it was true. God damn it. Hot sauce, what do you got going on here? Now I'm starting to doubt what's going on with hot sauce. Powerball winner Marie Holmes may have to bail herself out of jail. A criminal summons. Oh wait, maybe the cops are just targeting her now. They just moved from the middleman to her. Okay, maybe black love still is real. A criminal summons was issued for the 27-year-old mother of four after she allegedly threatened her boyfriend's concubine, Lorna Marlowe, according to ABC affiliate WWAY. Previously on the Hood Turn, as the Hood Turns.
I know, right? This might be that chick on that video.
I think it is. I just looked up her picture.
It probably is.
And, of course, the first thing that came up was a mugshot. Well, Hot Sauce definitely has a type.
Yes, he does have a type.
Here's a mugshot if you guys want to know what Lorna, what Hot Sauce is doing out here, cheating. This is how you like them, guys. All right. like I'm angry looking. I guess everybody's angry when they get arrested, but
that's the truth.
Yeah, so the criminal summons cited Holmes for making threatening and harassing phone calls to Marlowe. Oh no. So then Lorna Marlowe went and snitched too, because that's the only way they could know. Holmes living boyfriend Lamar McDowell, aka Hot Sauce, was in jail on drug trafficking charges when Holmes won $188 million in North Carolina's Powerball lottery in February 11, 2015. Holmes was heavily criticized for posting $21 million to bond McDowell out of jail on separate occasions. In an exclusive interview with London's London Daily Mail tabloid, McDowell defended Holmes' decision to pay $21 million to bond him out of jail. "We are a couple. I'm the father of youngest child," he said, referring to the couple's one-year-old daughter, Ebony. "This is what people do for each other. She has the money. She can do whatever she wants with it." McDowell added, "People are just jealous because of how much she won, and people want to see me locked up in jail." Holmes also has three children from a previous relationship, from previous relationships. Holmes shared a $564 million jackpot with three other winners. Her lump sum share was $87 million after taxes. I wonder how the other winners are like. I bet they like, oh, good, it's not about me.
You know? True.
But, yeah, good for her, man, and good for them. But, you know, don't be calling up that, you know, acting like Jill Scott and getting in the way and shit. You're getting in the way.
That never ends good for you.
Oh my goodness. What else happened? Oh, a cure for type 1 diabetes is imminent after a Harvard stem cell breakthrough. This is according to yahoo.com UK. Scientists say they've made a huge, giant leap forward in finding a cure for type 1 diabetes following a breakthrough in stem cell-related research. You know, the shit that Republicans don't want to happen. Researchers at Harvard University claim a cure for the disease could be imminent after they were able to create insulin-producing cells, which are almost identical to those found in the human body using embryonic stem cells. Described as a major medical breakthrough, scientists have recreated human beta cells in such quantity that cell transplantation is now possible, signaling an end to the daily insulin injections and health complications linked to type 1 diabetes.
I know people are happy because, yeah, they have to, depend on what kind you have, you constantly have to prick your fingertips and test your blood. You constantly have to take insulin shots several times a day. And, you know, people take for granted being able to do simple shit like eat a piece of cake, eat a cookie.
Described as a major medical breakthrough, type 1 diabetes accounts for around 10% of all adults with the incurable disease, and is the most common type of diabetes found in childhood. The stem cells currently undergoing trials on animals and other primates are still producing insulin after several months. It is hoped human transplant trials using the created cells will start within a few years. So, good, man. That's dope. So, that's cool, man.
I wonder how much they charge for that, because, you know.
$12.95.
A sale.
I don't know.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Let's see. What else do I feel like talking about? Oh, yeah. So, kink.com has updated its models' rights following James Dean allegations. Over the past several months, of course, there's been several allegations of non-consensual behavior and assault by porn performer James Dean. So several of the alleged assaults are said to have occurred on the set of San Francisco's kink.com. now, kink.com is like website for shout out to Bob from a Hot Fire Starter, by the way. But kink.com is a website that, you know, it's for like BDSM type stuff, basically. Okay. You know, a lot of tying people up, a lot of gagging. And they, like, you know that the porn is hardcore when they have to do pre and after interviews for the porn?
Oh, okay.
It's like those kind of porn where it's like, so you were okay with everything that happened? And they have to be like, yeah, you know, I like being tied up and slapped upside my face. And
and there's nothing wrong with BDSM, but yeah, when I have to ask, it's like, ooh.
But they had to ask because
it's so extreme.
When you watch it, yeah, right. You know.
So. Yeah, I'd be asking questions like, should I be here? Do I need to leave? Where's your address? Do I need to die now? I'm 911. Right. Are you safe, ma'am?
Right. So, you know, I think that's a reasonable, thing to have to update, because clearly this person violated the rules and performers seem to be afraid to voice this because you didn't find out until people were publicly accusing him of rape.
Right.
So obviously if this stuff was happening on set, it was actually on film, people saw it.
Right.
And nobody knew the difference. It's kind of like, when the Saints had, Bounty Gate, you know, where it's like, oh, wait a minute. These motherfuckers was out here trying to kill people. They played a whole season and nobody knew this. That tells you something about the game in general, you know, the savagery of the game, that nobody could figure it out until it was discovered. Well, nobody could figure out this dude was a rapist until it was discovered, because that's how hardcore the shit on this site is. So yeah, you do need some rules and guidelines, apparently.
Yes, you do.
So, sad that they didn't have them in the first place.
Right, or beforehand. At least
not well enough.
Right.
The new rules, which are posted on King's site, replace the original model Bill of Rights. King.com spokesperson Mike Stabile told the Daily Dot in an email interview that consent has always been a cornerstone of our business, but our original Bill of Rights was focused primarily on on-set interactions, and we want to expand it to offset behavior. We also wanted to give performers multiple avenues for reporting incidents and to let them know that we encourage reporting. Good. I mean, that's good. The company also announced a list of model expected behavior guidelines, which will soon be on their site. These include statements such as consent is inviolable on set or off. On set consent is not offset consent.
Correct.
We do not tolerate any unwanted sexual conduct towards other models, employees, visitors, or contractors in the armory. They film out of like, is it Alcatraz or something? Out of somewhere like historic, where they film, like they bought this place and they filmed inside of it. Remember, only yes means yes. According to the bill, some of the biggest changes with these new rules have been establishing affirmative consent for all interactions happening with kink.com's properties, whether onset or offset, stressing the importance of reporting, providing multiple confidential avenues to report incidents, and offering performers the option of private showers, bathrooms, and an escort.
Good. And the biggest thing is that women control this industry. No matter what you think about the performers, women control this industry. And if you don't have your product, which is women, coming to work, you're going to have problems. So they were like, hey, dog, we got to make this women friendly. You know, and not only for the women, for the men that they record too. Because it's one of those things where you want safety for all your employees, all of them. And I think that this is good, you know, with yes means yes and all that stuff. You'd be amazed at how many people want to act stupid when you say shit like that. But you have to put it in there because it matters. It matters a lot.
So, yeah. OneKink.com performer is pleased with the company's efforts. Andre Shakti is a 27-year-old performer who has shot between 2 and 6 scenes per year for various kink.com websites over the last 4 years. He told the Daily Dot that almost all of the terms in the model guidelines were ones that she was familiar with. From the paperwork she had signed before working for the company, these are definitely things that you go into the your talent office, even if it's your first day, they're on paperwork, they give you the review. So, all right. Now, other, also James Dean related news, one of his accusers, Stoya, sidesteps the controversy at the XBiz Awards. So they're having like these porn awards right now. Not the AVN Awards, but
AVN is the big one, right?
Yeah. Next week is the AVN Awards.
Okay.
And she basically didn't want to go. But she's hosting the XBiz Awards and she's not going to the AVN Awards. And she said she wished she could have got out of hosting XBiz, but she couldn't.
Probably because of a contract that she signed, right?
Yeah. The XBiz Awards, when the adult industry celebrates itself, were Friday night at the JW Marriott Hotel. Stoya was the host, and there was no getting out of it. And tensions were high in the room because James Dean, despite Stoya's accusations of rape and more that followed from multiple women on sets and off, He decided to attend the awards and walk the red carpet.
Of course. Unless they banned his ass, he's showing up to every fucking thing because he doesn't care.
Stoya quickly tried to defuse the messy situation, taking the stage with a little preamble. Stoya said, "Before we get started, I hope you don't mind, I'd like to say a few words from my heart, but really, I prefer not to. And it doesn't go over very well when I speak from my heart, okay? Phew. Now, with that out the way, please help me welcome my first presenter." So I guess they tried to make like a slight joke out of it, to build up suspense. Like, I want to say a few words from my heart, but I'm not going to, because that would ruin everything when I tell everybody this dude's a fucking rapist and he's here and fuck him and all that shit. Which is weird. Such a weird thing for an award show to try to tackle, even with a joke. You know what I mean? It's just, I can't imagine it going over well, but people are probably tense and nervous and they want to laugh. So maybe, I don't know. And that was that. Stoya unsmilingly also walked the event's red carpet, but not until more than an hour after Dean and his girlfriend Chanel. Stoya accused Dean of rape November 28th in a tweet that went viral. The accusations yielded its own hashtag, I Stand With Stoya. It drew out other accusers too. In the immediate aftermath, Stoya's allegations seemingly shook the porn industry to its core, causing Dean to be immediately excommunicated by Kink and Evil Angel, two companies with which he had previously done business. Dean emphatically denied the accusations, first on Twitter, then in an email interview with the Daily Beast. But for a few weeks, it looked like the porn's most recognizable male star, whose fame had crossed over into the mainstream, might no longer have a career. That seems not to have been the case. On December 18th, Dean began tweeting again. "So how was your Thanksgiving?" he wrote on his first tweet since November 29th. Yikes. Then on December 30th, he tweeted back to porn and more porn. Based on his Twitter account and website, Dean seems to be back in business as usual. Yeah, I thought that would happen. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he gained some fans even.
Of course.
There's a lot of people out there that, you know, that the reason they watch porn is to be like, oh yeah, I want these women to be pushed beyond their limits. I want them to be hurt and shit, you know? Mm-hmm. So he probably gained some fans. There's some people that are probably into that shit.
Of course.
Dean was nominated for Feature Movie of the Year, Male Performer of the Year, Crossover Star of the Year, and many more. He and his company were nominated for more than 20 XBIDS awards. He did not win any. Well, I guess voting wise, that makes sense.
Right, because, yeah.
And it probably was too late by the time all this shit happened to pretend like he wasn't in the running for all this stuff.
Right, and possibly may have won some shit if this shit hadn't broke.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, at this point, it was probably too late because he would have probably won. But
yeah, that's why he showed up.
Yeah.
Because he's like, shit, I'm nominated for 20. I can't not show up.
And who knows? Maybe they told him. Like, nah, man, you ain't about to win shit. You might as well stay home. And he might have been like, fuck it. Like,
I guarantee you that's what happened.
You know, it doesn't seem like he has got some issues around the word no anyway.
Correct. So why would he not show up?
Yeah. And also the thing is, I was thinking about this when I read the article. This is the reality for a lot of people who've been sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. Like, not just her because she's famous and in this industry, but with the fact that you know the person that sexually assaults you in the high percentage of the time, the chances, and the fact that we know that it goes unreported the majority of the time.
Yes, sir.
This is a lot of people's reality. They are around their abuser every day or often or routinely, whether they're in the family, whether it's someone you work with, whether it's someone you go to school with, whether they're in your friend circle.
Right.
And like I said, we all know people who've been victims. None of us know people who have been who are rapists unless they're in jail or something. Like, that don't seem weird to y'all? Like, some people are out here doing this shit and they're walking around every single day like nothing's happening, like nothing's wrong, like this is just a part of life, and this is just a reality of that, I think. And I think this is a lot of women's reality of having, and not just survivors' reality, is just having to navigate this world where, yeah, you're that person is still out there living life, doing whatever the fuck they're doing, you know. And I'm not even saying that as to pass any judgment. I like, in a lot of these cases, what the fuck could you do?
Come on now.
You know what I mean? Like, people look at an open and shut case like, oh, just go to the police. That's not how this works. Mm-mm. Like, sometimes you're just like, and this person will never be fucking caught. Like, it's so funny how people go, well, with the Stephen Avery thing, I mean, I'm just saying he should be let go because they didn't get it beyond a reasonable doubt, right? Let's look at that, right? I say it. They don't have him beyond a reasonable doubt. Sexual assault is nothing but doubt.
That's it.
It's nothing but doubt. I can see easily why you would either talk yourself out of going to the police or just go to the police and they still be like, yeah, this ain't gonna get nobody locked up. Because it's nothing but doubt, especially when the person's like, yeah, I did have sex with that person. So now what can you prove? You know what I mean? Unless it's some type of violent, jump out the bushes type shit, people are just going to be like, well, it sounds like you had sex with your friend and regretted it. Or it sounds like, what, you know, like, unless, like, they have to find, like, it has to be some kind of way that they can take the doubt out of it. And it's nothing but he said, she said, and he said, and she says, he said, whatever. You know, in so many of these cases, I see why people are just like, I wish I hadn't even fucking said anything. I wish I didn't even, you know, I can't even go to the cops. I'm not even going to say anything because
for a lot of people, it's not, it's like the backlash and the things that you have to deal with. For some people, it's actually worse than the original offense, which is sad because right. It's like, okay, the offense happened, it's over with, okay, but now every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, I'm constantly reminded somebody's asking, somebody's inquiring, somebody's digging, somebody's searching, somebody's tweeting, somebody's posting. It's like a never ending battle when you're like, well, shit, I just could have been raped and moved on with my life by now if I hadn't said anything, which is sad. Or even if you do say anything, your rape kit might sit on the shelves for years and possibly get damaged because of water damage because it sat so long, or sit there because your municipality don't have the fund to run the test,
right? So yeah, people make it seem so simple, right? But it's actually really fucking callous to just right. Be like, well, then just tell the police. Like, yeah, because that always works out very well for everybody, right?
Right. Come on now, the same people that say that be the same people that talk about when things happen to black people and black people end up in jail or dying, go, I can trust the police. But in this instance, I'm supposed to trust the same police that you have a problem with? I'm supposed to trust the same municipality. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do some fucking with black people. Did we do any fucking with black people today?
I don't know. Did we?
We did talk about that prayer breakfast thing, maybe. You know what? We'll do a little fucking with black people. We'll do a little something for the Oski Woski. Where we at here? Boom. Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to talk about the thing that we all hate to talk about. It's fucking with black people. The game where we read articles from all around the globe and we assign points from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, the Oscars. So since our last show, the Oscars nominations have come out, and ain't no black people on that wall. So yeah, no black people really got. I think The Weeknd got
repeat of last year.
Yeah,
won't be no new shit. Same old shit. Oh shit. All white y'all. That's what's happening here.
DJ, get a clue.
DJ ain't got no clue.
Jada Pinkett Smith shared her frustrations about Oscars so white hashtag. You know, obviously no black people got selected. Creed, I think the only person that got selected from that was Sylvester Stallone. The writers for Straight Outta Compton got selected. They're white. So it's just,
come on now.
So anyway, Jada Pinkett just basically dropped a couple tweets. She says, at the Oscars, people of color are always welcome to give out awards, even entertain, but we are rarely recognized for artistic accomplishments. Should people of color refrain from participating altogether? People can only treat us the way in which we allow, with much respect, in the midst of deep disappointment. Jay. So, you know, I personally, if you could organize that, that would be dope. I don't think that's necessarily realistic. That all the black people in Hollywood are gonna all be like, we're not going to this award show. But I appreciate something about this, which I hope people can kind of at least understand. Like I was reading Aisha, you know, Callahan, who was on the show. Mm-hmm. I was reading the article she wrote, which was like, the Oscars will never be Oscar so black. And she's right. It's never going to be a great representation of blackness and stuff. And we do have award shows that I think a lot of times get snubbed by celebrities that get treated as short shrift and less than. And that's part of the problem with a lot of this stuff, is that when you look down in disdain on the BET Awards or the Image Awards or the Soul Train Awards or whatever, you do end up marginalizing that, and you know, you make time for the awards that snub you every year. It does kind of breed this like disassociation with blackness, where it's like, so you couldn't make it to the BET Awards, but you could make it to the MTV Awards. You couldn't make it to the Hip Hop Awards, but you could make it to, you know, the Grammys or whatever. Like, despite how people might, despite how as an industry people might feel about it, as a black person, to me that does suck. And I do, like, you know, I think people should take pride in black shit, you know. I like when Monique said she liked her Image Award more than meant more to her than the Oscar, you know. And maybe that's part of why she kind of got boycotted out of the, you know, the industry. Mm-hmm. Got blacklisted a little bit, but I dig that. That's dope to me, right? So anyway, the point I was gonna say though is, even with all that, Jada Pinkett and hopefully the commentary from other black actors should still remind us that that fight is their fight too.
Yes, it is.
And to simply dismiss it as, well, just only support black shit, is almost like when people say, well, the kids at the black kids at Harvard or wherever, they just need to go to HBCU. And it's like, or they should be able to fight for their respect in the arena where they're at. Like, you don't have to abandon the fight because it's not, because you're not winning right now. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a lot of respect for the people who are saying we want more diversity at the Oscars, because those people put out the work that I relate to, and it should be recognized not only by us. It's good work regardless of who sees it. It's like if Ta-Nehisi Coates didn't get the Genius Award because he writes about racism. You see what I'm saying? That's bullshit. His work should be considered on the same level as his peers. That's the industry. That's equality. That's what people want. And when you have like kids who are looking at this, who want to be these things for life, I don't want to say, well, you're a black kid, so just give up. Don't expect, no, you'll never be on that stage and win an Oscar. You better hope you get a BET award or Image Award, and that's it. Don't be out here trying to have dreams and shit.
Don't be out here trying to do something with your life.
Yeah, I think, you know, I feel like, to not conflate agendas, I can understand both sides of, I do want, and I think they're not at, I put it this, it's not an ultimatum. They're not opposite ends of the spectrum. Black celebrities do, and artists, they do need to support black things.
Yes, they do.
You know, it doesn't happen enough, to be quite honest.
All right.
You know, like, we need, like, black, like, if you're in that industry, you should be doing things like going out on black podcasts or seeking out black media outlets, mm-hmm. or, you know, giving some commentary around race, you know, like, I would like to see those things. Those are the things that you know, that I would love to see. At the same time, you know, I don't want you to snub the BET Awards every year, or, you know, or snub the Image Awards or whatever. That's bullshit. You need to be going to those things. These are the people that support you. That being said, I think all of us should also be supportive of this idea that people that do good work should be recognized for good work on any platform.
Right, on any platform. And that's the problem. You're not recognized on any platform. And my mindset of this process has changed. I look at it a little differently than I used to. The thing about it is that everybody needs to be respected amongst their peers.
Right.
And the thing is, the BET Awards, the Image Awards, all these awards are wonderful. But the quote-unquote industry, overall industry, only looks at certain awards as worthy, which is sad. Like, you can win 45 NAACP awards, but they don't consider you a quote-unquote winner. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be winning the Oscars. You need to be winning the Grammys. You need to be winning those awards before it, quote-unquote, counts. Those other awards count, too, but they're disregarded, which is sad.
Yeah, and I want to know, like, will we do this with other industries? Like, should your work not be qualified to get a Pulitzer if you're black? Like, well, you're black, so what were you thinking to try to win a Pulitzer? That's just stupid, you know, or... Yeah, because that's also a subjective medium, you know. Should you not expect to win a Grammy because you're black? Should you, like, you know, what, like, where does the line stop with this type of thinking? Because with the Oscars, they have a black woman who's now, you know, the president or whatever. She's trying to diversify it. Obviously, it's a slow thing, but like last year, they inducted twice as many members than they normally induct, which is to try to basically. Over time, they're going to try to weed out and dilute some of the older white male / white women influence. And by doing so, you know, it'll be slow, but by doing so, eventually they hope to get more types of people in, right? But I don't think you just give up, I guess, is my point. Like, I just feel like that's self-defeating, you know. And if, you know, if black actors want to come together and be like, we don't want to be here at this thing, I understand. But what you have to realize with the access to the Oscars is that that's effectively economic violence on our favorite creators, the people who tell our stories from our perspective. What the Oscars is doing is ensuring that they don't get the biggest budgets, that they don't have the access to the social nepotism of that industry. So I don't think you can champion Ava DuVernay and then say, but her work should never be up for an Oscar. I just don't think you're really supportive. And I think a lot of people who talk this way are going to completely act completely different when she or Coogler or somebody does break that mold and they win. Mm-hmm. It's going to be all the hashtag black girl magic. It's going to be all the hashtag black perspectives matter. It's going to be all that celebrating, but you've been name saying all of this shit for years. So why be on that bandwagon? You know what I mean? Like, why? It's so easy to just be like, yeah, your work deserves that recognition as well, and you know, and it's fucked up.
Yeah, and I think for me the most frustrating part of just a lot of these award shows, whenever we do get recognized or whenever we do win awards, a lot of times they're not for our best motherfucking work, in my opinion. A lot of times the shit that we should have won the award for, it's glossed over. You know, it's like one of those things where, in my opinion, I might be wrong, but it was like, niggas, y'all got 12 Years a Slave. Y'all sweeped a few years ago. it's gonna be a while before we vote anything black in, because we've met our quote unquote black quota for a while, when it shouldn't be like that. It just shouldn't. We can do shit besides be goddamn slaves, be maids, be second in command. You know, we do more than that. We do a lot more than that. And why can't we get recognized? Why can't we be goddamn mediocre on the road and fucking win? It happens all the time with white people. Do mediocre shit. Like, Jennifer Lawrence, she's a terrible goddamn actress. She fucking wooden and she plays the same role. She plays a 30 something year old when she's fucking 20 and she's terrible at it, but she's the it girl. So she goddamn win. Why can't black people have that? That's when you have motherfucking equality, when we can be average and we can be normal and still win.
Yeah, I think our excellence needs to be acknowledged. And I think black people aren't just putting out mediocre shit, they're putting out excellent shit.
Yes, they are.
Acknowledged. Obviously the Academy is very comfortable with certain type of roles and positions for black people and for the people they celebrate, you know, these subservient ancient historical roles. They love those, you know, but in general, I just feel like the part I want to concentrate on is that these are their coworkers. So for us to have this, well, just do black shit and only go to black awards and don't even try. It's like, yeah, the people that you're talking about, they make or break people in the industry. Mm-hmm. So it's not as simple as just be like, someone said, well, did you see Ice Cube say he wasn't mad about the snow? The fuck is he gonna say? Because your ass go to work every day and you don't have any issues to your boss's face, but then when we sit down and talk later, you like, yo man, fuck my boss.
Right.
You know, I think this company's racist. I think this, he's at work essentially. He is at work. Mm-hmm. He has to put out another movie. He has a production company. He wants to get certain actors in there. He's at work. The same reason Samuel Jackson is never going to have a problem with the way Tarantino uses the N-word in his scripts. He's at work. He might fucking hate Tarantino for all we know, but he at work, y'all. He get a check from this dude every 2 years. So same way you do. You know, most people aren't living that kind of truth. So I don't think people understand, or they're not looking at the industry from that angle where it's like,
right,
look, when these guys get shut out at these places, it means that their work gets less, and that means less budgets, less actors. And by the way, another reason I want to see Creed and Coogler and shit like this win, and I want to see Ava win for Selma and stuff, I need that to trickle down, because who gets, you know who else gets work on black films? Black people.
Yes.
Black makeup people, black hair people, black lighting people, black camera people, like, black people get work. Black scene, like, these movies are economic vehicles. They're not just it might be 2 hours to you to sit in a film, but it's not that for them,
right?
And these are lifelong dreams. These are people that, they might have been a kid and they came up with that. Ava DuVernay might have been a child when she said, I want to make the movie about Selma, and we look at, that's her lifelong. And then your response is, well, just, you know, go to the Image Awards then. And some of them do. But it's just this idea that's like, almost like backlash to them that I feel like is unfair. You know, and I used to feel this way, by the way. This is not me saying like, oh, y'all stupid and I'm smart. Like, I used to feel kind of like, well, what you really want is white acceptance. No, they don't. That's actually, maybe some do, but in general, that's not. What they want is their work to have equality, which means, right, the same budgets, which means the same access, the same ability to get, you know, good scripts and all this shit. Why do we keep telling our black people to do more with less? We got to stop accepting the, well, work twice as hard and get half as much. We got to stop accepting that as a universal truth that is immutable. It is not. It can be changed. We can fight for that. And if not, then what's the fucking point of supporting anybody at all? What's the point of anybody's work? What's the point of doing anything if your whole thing is just like, well, give up, you know? Like, I don't need you supporting me if that's your attitude about it. And I saw so many people having that attitude of just like, you know, yeah, just give up. I'm like, nah, that's dumb.
Right. Yeah. And it's almost like that defeat mentality. And I really used to be like that. recently I started to change, because I think just being black and just being brown, or just being in a group that's not the quote unquote social norm, you get tired. You get tired of people telling you no. You get tired of not, you being snubbed. You get tired of, to eventually, as a quote unquote defense mechanism, people go, well, fuck this and fuck you.
Yeah, I think it's all a defense mechanism. Right. You know, I feel like I was angry to even say, like, well, why y'all niggas don't just go to the so-and-so awards? Because I am angry about that. Mm-hmm. They should. So but I'm not conflating the two. That doesn't mean your work wasn't Oscar worthy because you didn't go to the BET awards. That, like, that's a thing for me to worry about. But but your work should still get recognized. And it is not right. And I'm glad people are making a stink about it. And I hope that it does have, and I know it has impact. It might not be the impact and the plan that you guys would be happy with, but it's you know, whether it's the getting a black woman to be the head of the Oscars committee, being getting a black woman that is actually inducting more members than they typically do to try to, like, dilute some of that whiteness, those are things that matter, you know.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, they don't have a disciplinary board. They don't have a way to get rid of these people. And these people are power brokers, and some of them have been around for, you know, years and years and years. But you have to start somewhere. And the solution that many people are offering is to shut the fuck up. And I'm not going to be silenced. And I don't think anybody else should be silenced for your, because what the fuck are you saying?
True.
You know what I mean? Like, so what's your solution? Well, just don't go. That's not actually a fucking solution. You know what I mean? Like, that's not actually a solution. Like, the point is, I put my shit in the same theater, on the same screens. I deserve my recognition. That's the point. You know, we can't have it both ways on this. So I don't understand how you can be pro-black and then anti-black work getting its recognition in the arenas that it deserves.
Right, and I think for me, the thing that really changed my, I guess, perspective on it, I started looking at it the same way people look at, like, when people fight for civil rights. Even with Martin Luther King, there are a lot of people that told him it wasn't worth it, why waste their time. But see, when you don't demand change doesn't come.
Right.
And it's one of those things where everybody wants to come, quote unquote, and praise once you, quote unquote, get to the other side. But nobody really wants to put in the work and the effort and the organization and the marching and the protesting and the constantly being on people's ass. Because the thing is that a lot of the changes that are slowly happening, and not only for black people, but just for brown people, LGBTQ, a lot of the changes that are happening because every time some shit come out, it's one of those things where you have to stay diligent, and you have to stay on somebody's ass. Like, you have to make it so inconvenient for them that they do it, not out of caring, but because they want you to shut the fuck up. You go, well, I don't really care if you, I prefer for you to care about my plight, but if you don't care about my plight, do it because it affects your bottom line.
Yeah, well, also, it's really disrespectful to black creatives. Like, that was the thing that really kicked in for me. Cause those are my brothers and sisters too. Jada Pinkett Smith is my brother, is my sister, and Will Smith is my brother. Like, why would I want to see them go unrecognized?
Right,
like,
for their work.
I just never understood that mentality. I don't understand the mentality. Black creatives, it's like you get the worst of both worlds. Like, Cause you already have your own people often try to tell you, like, what you're doing is bullshit and it's not gonna work and to give up because you ain't ever gonna da da da. And there's two things about it that really stuck out. One, people that were saying, well, this is about getting white love and approval. No, it's not. It's about getting what I fucking earned.
Ain't that for my work?
When I come to your job and you're like, I'm in line for this promotion and I didn't get it, I don't go, well, that's just because you want white people to love you. No, bitch, I put in my motherfucking work. I went to work every day like everybody else did, and I worked harder and I put out a better fucking product. Why wouldn't my shit be recognized? And why would you root against that? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like, that, like, you not on my side. You not on my team, dog. That's bullshit. You know, like, and I say that through any industry. You know what I'm saying? It's like if someone put in great efforts and wrote hot fire for 365 days. Pulitzer Prize comes up and they not even in the running. And I'm like, cause they was writing about black shit? Fuck you. They work were bad. That work was better. And I'm gonna be equally upset about that person as I would be about anybody else. So, and I don't go, well, did he go to the Image Awards to get his, like, like, that's a separate thing that I do have a gripe with, but it doesn't have anything to do with this shit.
Right.
The other part of this is, I saw so many black people saying stuff like, well, black people just need to start their own things, and then people will support that. Here's the thing about that. We already have.
Right.
We already do. And you saying that, just let me know that your ignorant ass don't support nobody.
Come on now. And
that's the problem with a lot of this shit. You're the part of the problem because you are waiting on white Hollywood to recognize these people because you don't even think they fucking exist. You think there aren't black independent studios. You think black creators aren't putting out content on YouTube every single day. But people often, a lot of times, and it's just the way that the reach works, a lot of times people don't hop on board until it's recognized. A lot, you know what Karen wants to watch now, guys? Mr. Robot. I talked about Mr. Robot 75 times on this show throughout the year.
Yes, you have.
I talked about it on the Nerd Off. Mm-hmm. Karen's on all those. No interest. It wins a Golden Globe. I had to go buy it on Amazon yesterday.
Yep, because I want to watch it.
It matters. That, you know, and I'm not saying to disparage Karen. I'm saying that's how much this shit matters. So, and you know what Mr. Robot did? Took they shit off of everywhere. It ain't on Hulu.
Right.
It ain't, like, they were like, you're going to have to buy this or go to USA.com. Like,
which was smart, but yeah.
That's the impact of these decisions. So to turn around and be like, don't worry about it. Nigga, that's my livelihood.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the things that keep people in business. You know, Reagan Gomez, you know, when she's sacrificing her own money, mm-hmm. investing into herself to put out this product on YouTube for people to go watch, you know, making sure it's well done, all this stuff. The products are out there.
Yes, they are.
To sit around and then tell people like, well, why don't y'all start your own shit? We did. Where were you? Where were you?
You don't support it, then complain about how it's not there when at the end of the day you only looking at the same people that are ignoring these people to tell you what to watch.
Yeah, we would be like, even with us as a podcast, we have, you know, great support in the podcast game. Mm-hmm. Great support from our fans.
Yes.
If we were on the radio, we'd have way more listeners. It's a fact. It's not you know, it isn't, I don't think we have as good quality of listeners. But the point being, we would have way more ears on our shit just because of the medium and what's built into it.
Right.
But I guarantee you there's people that complain about black radio or complain about the radio in general, and mm-hmm. then they'd be like, well, why black people ain't doing shit? We are. We might not make all the podcast lists, but we are doing shit. We are super serving our community.
Right. And also the problem too is that for a lot of people, they don't go look for shit. Just like people have been like, well, right. ain't nothing out there. You be like, motherfucker, I've been looking like, oh, you goddamn looking. Do you Google? Cause if you Google, if you Google, the shit will pop up.
But that's my point. They are looking at the Oscars.
Okay.
They are looking at, like, you can't say, these awards ain't shit and I don't care. Yeah, you personally don't care. I don't even like the Oscars. I don't give a fuck. But at the same time, I would be a fucking fool to pretend that the rest of the world doesn't care and that the things that matter don't get decided on that stage.
Come on now.
So now I'm telling black people not to expect to, not to even want it, not to go after it, not to get it. Nah, man. I can't do it. So 100 fucked with. Mm-hmm. On that Oscar shit, man. And you know, you ain't gotta be, but I feel like everybody, like I said, I wasn't always on that. I didn't always understand it, but I do now.
Right, I do. And I think my eyes are opened up, just being more diverse and expanding my friendships and having friends that are actors and performers. Like, I like not trying for like that really changed my perspective on how I viewed a lot of this, because most people view things always from a consumption, because most people are consumers. They don't produce. So you never look at it on the backside as far as producing, because when you were talking about like the people that do artists and the makeup and all that stuff, these people can get jobs. And when y'all favorite actors on these shows, regardless of what show they do, go, these women come out there and the hair's all fucked up, they can go hire somebody who knows how to deal with fucking black hair and not have them looking fucking crazy, or they always have a wig, or they always have a sew-in, or they always have braids, because no white people know how to do their hair.
That's right, guys. It all comes down to doing hair.
It does. On the camera looking crazy.
Mm-hmm. Looking like Heath from Walking Dead.
Right.
All right. Let's get into our other game.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Ba-da-ba.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles all throughout the show, and we ask people like yourself to guess the race, and the chat room plays along, and they're racist. This is also brought to you by Bevel. That's right, this Guess the Race, brought to you by Bevel, first known to shave system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Maybe you already have a system in place to get rid of your razor bumps, okay? Maybe it's taking you years to perfect that shit and to figure out exactly what to do for your black ass skin. Or just sensitive skin with coarse curly hair. Whatever. I get it. I do, my brother. I had a system myself. But then I got Bevel and it came with the system intact. I ain't got to do nothing extra. I'm good. Still haven't got one bad report back from it.
No, haven't.
Still haven't got the person who's like, yo, man, I had way more razor bumps now. Oh, man, this some bullshit, man. Y'all sold me on some shit. Like, everybody's having a great experience with it. And they tried to give it to you for free. And some of you missed out on it.
Yes, they did.
Late.
A lot of people took advantage and they are happy.
Right. And I'm saying, well, you fucked up. You missed that boat. Now it's time to take a chance on yourself. Don't wait for no handout. Why you always gotta have a black company try to give you a handout? Brother, you go to McDonald's and you expect the black man hook you up for fries and lose his job? Mm-mm. You need to support Bevel, man. Get to getbevel.com and click code TBGWT in and get 20% off. They still trying to give you 1/5 away for free.
Mm-hmm.
And some of y'all still looking for a handout. I'm not saying I agree with the Republicans, but I'm just saying. Get Bevel.com code TVGWT. All right. Get that 20% off your first one. Let's get into these guesses of the races. All right. Waffle House employees use cooking supplies to fix hair.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Karen.
They thought they was at the house?
I don't know if they thought they were at the house necessarily, but I mean, they just, look, the hair ain't gonna fix itself is what I'm saying, Karen.
Apparently not.
And sometimes you just need, you know, you need to get scattered, smothered, and chunked. Fried and dyed and then laid to the side. Am I right? What's going on out there?
Right, gotta get your kitchen right in that kitchen. Hey.
So, this happened in Forest City, Arizona. Waffle House employees in Forest City, Arkansas, okay. That's right, Arizona's AZ. Were seen using a pot and a stove to fix one employee's hair. The incident was caught on camera. The employees pulled the hair out of the water and dried it with a towel while customers across the counter watched. Ketchup and other condiments can be seen just feet from where they are standing. Tuesday morning, the health department sent an inspector to the Waffle House to do a complete assessment of the facility. Inspectors reported violations, including employees not using hygienic practices. Well, in a Waffle House? I am shocked.
All right.
What? Are y'all serious? Waffle House? No, what? Mm-mm. I don't believe it.
Somebody, you know, company that didn't even take, there was cash only till about 2013 to 14. Right. Not that place.
They was using on that that RZA brown paper bag.
Yeah, they was like cash on a no other payments.
Yeah, they actually got a video of it. Wow. Yeah.
Look
at this. Put the hair in. Wow.
While customers eating.
Yeah. Holy shit. He is doing, and I like that it's a dude doing the hair. Trying to help out.
All right, trying to help us out.
Oh man.
Yeah, I got your back, girl.
Yeah, girl, look, it's like Creed almost, but mm-hmm. You know, but not really. Anyway, customers were shocked when shown the video. Inspectors reported violation. Okay, yeah, that was pretty gross. When customers said to think that they would do that, be that bold in front of customers.
Right, you couldn't wait till you. Well, no, Waffle House 24/7, so you never do it without customers. There, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
I say when you close, but I forgot they never close.
Yeah. Yep. Waffle House did not reply to request or comment. They did end up firing those employees. They should definitely take a stand on it. They need to show the customers that is something they won't tolerate. The health department said the store will remain open as managers make the necessary changes to ensure the restaurant meets all health and safety codes. Guess the race of the Waffle House hair salon people, hairdressers and shit. People in the back getting edge ups.
I know. You want some breakfast while you waiting to get your hair done?
Mm-hmm. Once, twice, three fifths a human. Aww, little brothers. AJ3000 says, "We eggs and we black." AC says, "The plot to the non-Oscar nominated Beauty Shop 3 after Queen Latifah loses the business again." Black.
Aww.
Everybody is, I'm hustling Negress. Every day I'm hustling Negress. Just like me, black. just for me. Kiss my grits, white. The correct answer is, and most of you got it, black. He really used the kitchen thongs to grab her hair, though. Yeah, I bet he used that same spatula right there to flip somebody's eggs later.
You know he did.
I mean, I guess you go to Waffle House, you just happy it don't have hair in it, you know?
Right. You know, do they got the blue juice there too? I mean, what's happening here?
Well, now we know how that hair is getting in there.
Right.
It's getting in all your food. All right, let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's about one for one, but it's the bonus round and people are going to get nervous. Let's do it. All right. Everything's worth double the points, double the race. Fugitive who sent cops a selfie to replace his mugshot has been arrested. Lima, Ohio.
That's a good one.
A man, Ohio police say, sent them a selfie because he didn't like his mugshot that they were using, has been arrested in Florida Panhandle.
You don't say.
Police say Donald Chip Pugh was arrested Tuesday in Central Florida and is being held on another warrant out of Georgia. Police in Ohio say Pugh also is wanted for failing to appear in court and is a person of interest in several other cases. Lima police say Pugh sent them a picture of himself in a sport coat and sunglasses along with a message saying, "Here is a better photo. That one is terrible." The police department has posted it on its Facebook page, a new mugshot of a smiling Pugh after his arrest in Florida. Pugh can't be reached for comment while he's in custody. Guess the race of Mr. Donald Chip Pugh, chat room.
Chip Pugh.
Mm. Yeah.
What type of chips?
Mm-hmm. The Donald, as we like to call him. Let's see. They're taking their time. Okay.
Probably a delay.
Yeah, I just like that he was looking at his own pick like, man, that ain't even the right angle. I ain't gonna get no bitches off this warrant.
I I'm gonna give him a clear form.
One who got his hair done at Waffle House after eating Freedom Grits, eggs, and the white man's bacon. Freedom Grits. all right. Leonard's the only one that guessed so far. No. Must be a long delay. I don't know. Oh, they arrest him for sending a picture. One who had red eye white. Image is everything. DeAndre Agassi, a Negro. DeAndre Agassi. Okay. DeAndre Agassi. Needed more photos to match his warrants black. he used a pic from his Black Planet profile.
Oh, that's a good one.
has some HTML sound effects on it. Anyway, the correct answer is black. He was a black man. I think one person got it wrong. That's hilarious. Well, you know, pride cometh before a foul, right? All right, sword ratcheting this time.
But before you read it, the pick he sent was actually a better pick, so they was like, oh, this is what you look like right now.
Right. Thanks, buddy.
Right.
Are you wearing this suit by chance? Can you turn your location on?
Right. He may as well have.
Power Rangers actor charged with murder in a sword stabbing death of a roommate.
Oh.
Nearly a year after he was arrested on suspicion of stabbing his roommate in Santa Clarita area home, an actor best known for playing a Power Ranger has been charged with murder. Ricardo Medina, 36, was arrested Thursday morning and was due to be arraigned Tuesday by the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. Medina allegedly fatally stabbed a 36-year-old Josh Sutter at a home that the two shared in Green Valley. He faces 26 years to life in state prison if convicted.
26 years to life?
Mm-hmm.
What's life then?
Life? 26, what, longer than 26 years?
Apparently so.
Till he died.
Oh, okay.
One count of murder, a charge that was filed Wednesday. Prosecutors plan to ask that he be held on a $1 million bail. Medina and Sutter got into an argument over Medina's girlfriend that turned physical. The DA office said Medina allegedly stabbed Sutter several times with his sword. I guess he was a funky cold Medina at that point.
Yes, he was.
Damn. Sutter's sister Rachel Kennedy said a coroner's report indicated there were 10 sharp force injuries to her brother, though sheriff's investigators initially said there was only one wound. Sharp force sounds like a division of the Power Rangers.
Right.
Power Rangers Sharp Force.
I know.
Power Rangers. I'm trying to remember the themes on the Power Rangers. Yeah. I feel like I remember.
Go, go, mighty Power Rangers. Yeah, I remember that.
I think that was it. Although they've had 75 different versions at that point.
Yeah, the version I'm talking about is probably the old school version.
What is this one?
That's one of the newer versions.
That's the Dino Charge.
Right. That's not the version we grew up with. You probably need the old school version.
Yeah, I don't even know what the original Power Rangers.
Mighty Virgin Power Rangers. Yeah.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I think that's the name of it. Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah. Anyway, who knows? That's probably just the one we saw.
Yeah.
Probably was in Japan for like a year before that. Anyway, man, so there were 10 sharp force injuries. His hands were where most of the stab wounds were. He was fighting for his life. Medina called 911 and was initially arrested as soon as after the killing. But the DA's office rejected the case and sent it back to Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department for further investigation. When he was released from the Antelope Valley Jail last February, Medina told reporters that he was very, very, very sorry for what had occurred. Medina's attorney at the time said Sutter was a house guest in the Green Valley home. After an argument led Medina and his girlfriend to retreat into the actor's bedroom, Sutter forced open the door and Medina stabbed him with a sword. The sheriff's department was still investigating. The DA's office said Thursday Medina was booked at South Los Angeles station Thursday. Medina played the Red Power Ranger on Power Rangers Wild Force in 2002. Oh. And in other productions involving the character, according to the IMDb profile, he appeared in the show Power Rangers Samurai in 2011 and 2012. Wow. So, yep, can't even trust the Power Rangers, guys.
Mm-mm.
All right, man, we'll be back. Tomorrow's Martin Luther King Day, so we might not be back tomorrow, but we'll probably be back at least Tuesday and Wednesday. So we'll talk to you guys soon. And I'm not sure we won't be back. We might be back tomorrow. I'll let you guys know. But we'll talk to you guys soon. Until then, make sure you guys go to Bevel. Make sure you guys, premium people, go to the website and see the new footage from Shadow Dog Productions movie that's in film festivals now, The Art of Confession. So until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Go Panthers.